All right, Pentecost. We have been counting 50. Today is day 49. Stephanie's been throwing out the Skittles because we wanted to be reminded that this feast is different than all the other feasts of God in that there isn't a particular day. You know, when he said keep Passover, he said keep it on the 14th day of the first month. Days of Unleavened Bread, 15th day of the first month. Feast of Trumpets, the first day of the seventh month. Day of Atonement, 10th day of the seventh month, and on. Pentecost, he says, you're going to count to it. He didn't give a day in a month. He gave an instruction to count. And sometimes it's so easy for us just to calculate forward, but to think about what counting means, what the time of counting is. You know, when you count down to something, there's a constant building of anticipation, isn't there? You know, when a rocket's going off, okay, 2 minutes to count down, right? 1 minute to play in the period. You know, I mean, in sporting events, in NASA events, in things, we like the countdown. And then, you know, New Year's, right? People, 10, 9. There's something about building the anticipation of a count to something. And we have been counting 50 days in anticipation of a feast that God created. And one of the things that we've been singing about here today and just realizing, God has a plan for you. Do you know that? Do you believe that? And in these feast days and in these holy days, God has been laying out a plan for mankind, for you personally and individually, for the world as a whole, things past, things present, things future. God is laying out a plan, and the days keep us focused on His plan. We remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. We remember God is our Creator. We remember that He's the God who brought us out of bondage. We remember Him. It's not just about remembering the day and ceasing our labors. It's entering into His rest. In resting with Him and knowing who God is, it's remembering God. And these feast days are all about remembering God and what He's doing. Now here at Rock Valley, we get excited about the feasts. Because when you really appreciate that God has laid out a plan and revealed it to us, should we always be reminding each other of what He's doing? Of why we're here, of why we even breathe and exist. And every feast day is an opportunity to do that. So we cease from our work, we cease from our labors, we remember what God is doing, and we celebrate. So here we are on Pentecost weekend. Let's turn to the book of Leviticus, chapter 23. Leviticus chapter 23. We're going to pick it up here in verse 15. And verse 15 begins with a reference back to something that we celebrated during the days of unleavened bread. On the day after the Sabbath, during the days of unleavened bread, 49 days ago, we celebrated that there would be an offering made to the Lord. It was to be a sheaf of first fruits that was cut and to be waved to the Lord. And God said, without that offering, there could be no partaking of the harvest that was to follow. And that first fruit offering was the Lord Himself, Jesus Christ. We see it in the Spirit of God. We see God's feast through the eyes of Jesus Christ, having the veil taken away. And we celebrated that day the resurrection and the ascension. Jesus said, go tell my disciples, I ascend to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. And He was that sweet-smelling fragrance to the Lord, raised up from the dead after 3 days and three nights, being in the heart of the earth, just as He promised, raised up to the Father. And with His resurrection, we could begin a count. Notice this here, verse 15. And you shall count for yourselves from the day after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths shall be completed. Count 50 days to the day after the 7th Sabbath, and you shall offer a new grain offering to the Lord. You shall bring from your dwelling 2 wave loaves of 2/10 of an ephah, and they shall be of fine flour. They shall be baked with leaven. They are first fruits to the Lord. And you shall offer with the bread 7 lambs of the first year without blemish, 1 young bull and 2 rams, and they shall be as a burnt offering to the Lord with their grain offering and their drink offerings, an offering made by fire for a sweet aroma to the Lord. And then you shall sacrifice one kid of the goats as a sin offering, and two male lambs of the first year as a sacrifice of a peace offering. And the priest shall wave them with the bread of the first fruits as a wave offering before the Lord with the two lambs. They shall be holy to the Lord for the priest. And you shall proclaim on that same day, it is a holy convocation to you. You shall do no customary work on it. It shall be a statute forever in all your dwellings throughout all your generations. When you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not wholly reap the corners of your field. When you reap, nor shall you gather any gleanings from your harvest. You shall leave them for the poor and for the stranger. I am the Lord your God. So we have a count. We have this offering. Is anybody going to be able to see this? And we're to count to this day, the day, the 50th day, a counting of 50 days that we've just been completing. Here we are near the end of it. And so we have this offering. Now, in this offering that begins the count, we had Christ the first fruits, resurrection. I want you to turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 16. Deuteronomy chapter 16, and notice here in verse 9. Deuteronomy 16 is talking about this special feast, this feast when 7 weeks are to be counted. Notice here in verse 9, you shall count 7 weeks for yourself. Begin to count the 7 weeks from the time you begin to put the sickle to the grain. Then you shall keep the feast of weeks to the Lord your God with the tribute of a freewill offering from your hand, which you shall give as the Lord your God blesses you. All right? So this count begins here. Now, I want you to remember what we talked about 49 days ago when we met and celebrated that offering. That it was the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That it was the beginning of the harvest. That the harvest couldn't take place without that offering being made. Friends, what is the harvest? The resurrection. The resurrection. Who is God resurrecting? His children. His children. Jesus said, look, the fields are white unto harvest. You are the harvest. You are the ones that God is bringing forth. You who see Jesus, who accept His death for the forgiveness of your sins, you who believe in His resurrection from the dead, just as He prophesied it would happen. And with that begins a counting of hope to your redemption. The harvest of the first fruits. This feast, this day of Pentecost, this counting, you notice here it's called the Feast of Weeks in Deuteronomy 16:10. And if you look in Exodus 34, which I'm not going to turn there, this feast is called the Feast of Harvest. The counting is, here's the harvest beginning. And all this time of counting is the time when they physically were gathering in the harvest and it was being collected so they could celebrate this feast on this day. It is a celebration of the gathering in of the first harvest. The first harvest that you've been called to be a part of. God is revealing a plan of how He's going to do this. 3 times in a year, it says in Deuteronomy 16, all your males shall appear before the Lord your God, and none shall appear before Him empty-handed. That phrase, appear before me, means see the face of God. 3 times in a year, you shall see the face of God, and no one shall come before me empty. Now, tomorrow we take up an offering. We do. We normally, we don't pass a plate or want to pressure for offerings here. We want you to give because the Lord has you giving. And so there's an offering box in the back where you can give. But on this special day, we will take up an offering. So I'd ask if you have something you want to give to God, pray about it and give it tomorrow. And if it's, again, not here, no worries. But we're going to take up an offering tomorrow, remembering this, spiritually, the blessing that God has given us, spiritually, the harvest that's taking place in our lives and giving to Him. But notice here again now, Leviticus 23. So you're counting 50 days till it's completed. There's going to be two wave loaves. Now, what is significant about waving loaves? What was significant about waving the sheaf? Do you see the connection? Day one, you're going to wave something. Day 50, you're going to wave something. In the first offering, it was just the grain. It was a sheaf of the first fruits. It was a bundle of grain that the priest would wave for acceptance before God. But here, there's a little more that the priest has to wave. First, it says he has to take two wave loaves, and there's to be leaven in them. What's interesting about a sacrifice or an offering made to God about leaven being present? Leaven was representative of sin, right? Remember we kept the days of unleavened bread here? We put leaven out. We were to only have unleavened. And God gave the commandment in the law. He said, when you come with a grain offering, it shall be without leaven. No leaven is to be present in that offering. But here, we have leavening in the two loaves that are to be offered. Now, notice this as well. As you look down here in verse 18 of Leviticus 23, he says, you shall offer with the bread seven lambs of the first year without blemish, one young bull and two rams. They shall be as a burnt offering to the Lord with their grain offering and their drink offerings, an offering made by fire for a sweet aroma to the Lord. Now, I want you to think about that. The lambs of the first year, a young bull and two rams, they shall be as a burnt offering to the Lord, their grain offerings and their drink offerings. Everything that we see in the sacrifices of God represent that surrender that Brad was talking about, but certainly we point and look to Jesus Christ, the sweet-smelling savor. And this sacrifice that is being offered, that's accompanying, just like with the wave sheaf offering, there was an accompanying sacrifice. But now notice this. Then you shall sacrifice one kid of the goats as a sin offering and two male lambs of the first year as a sacrifice of a peace offering. You have that in your head? So you make this offering as a sweet smelling aroma to the Lord. So that's what's going on as a backdrop. That's what's going on at the temple in the presence of the Lord. A sweet-smelling offering. Now he says, I want you to take one kid of the goats as a sin offering. So where there was a sin offering to be made with this offering, and two for peace, the peace offering. So here we have these wave loaves made with leaven. We have this sin offering, and we have a peace offering. Are you building a mental picture? This is what's happening and what God has described. I ask you, as you think about these things now, I ask God's Spirit to just start to open your mind to reveal what He's teaching. Because every word of this is important and vital for understanding of God's plan. This is all to be seen in the Lord. 2 Corinthians 3 says that when you turn to the Lord, the veil is taken away. He said, for those who don't turn to the Lord, there still is a veil in reading the Old Testament. This is the gospel that's being taught. The gospel is being delivered here of what God is doing. So notice this. So then you shall sacrifice one kid of the goats for a sin offering, two male lambs of the first year as a sacrifice of a peace offering. The priest shall wave them with the bread of the first fruits as a wave offering before the Lord. With two lambs, they shall be holy to the Lord for the priest. They shall be holy to the Lord for the priest. Friends, who is your priest?
Jesus.
What are these first fruits? Who are they holy for? For Jesus. Jesus wants you to be holy. Jesus is the priest who gets the benefit of each of our lives. He came to have us, to make us holy. Do you realize that what began here, what we've talked about in the resurrection, and every bit of the work that Jesus did here, that we celebrated in Passover in the days of unleavened bread, talking about His death and His resurrection to life, was to bring about this offering, this waving together of the leaven loaves with the sin offering and with the offering of peace to be the first fruits of God. Turn with me over to James chapter 1. James chapter 1 and verse 18. He says, "Of His own will," speaking of Almighty God, "He brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of His creatures." Of His own will. Of His own will. Now, when we look at the instruction of Leviticus, could we get to this 50th day without this?
No.
Absolutely not. And friends, when you look at this in the spirit of what we're talking about, of what God is looking to do to have us come before Him in acceptance, it all happens because of this. You don't start the count at 50. 50 is the ending. It's day one where it begins in your life and in my life. It is the accepting by faith the work of Jesus Christ in our lives that changes everything for us. It is our faith that is in Him that is not futile, but it has purpose. Notice with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Notice this. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 17. Verse 17. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 17. "And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. And I will declare to you today that if you by faith do not accept the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you are still in your sins. You have no faith. It's futile." It's His resurrection life that gives the power. You know, it says in Romans 6, we are baptized into His death. We are raised in the likeness of His resurrection. When we give our lives in covenant and commitment to God, He is raising up in us a first fruit, a new creature, a new creation in Christ Jesus. And so we look at these feasts and realize, what is God doing? There is an order. There is a pattern to all of this. Notice in verse 18. "So then those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished." In other words, those who died. They're just gone. They're destroyed. They're dead. If Christ is not risen from the dead, friends, you have no hope of being resurrected. And he says, in this life, only if we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. But the beautiful word, but, right there. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. He was raised up on the exact time that God said He would be. He was crucified on Passover. He was the Lamb, the Passover slain. And what day was He raised? It says in Mark at the beginning of the first day, He was that offering. He was harvested from the earth and He was waved for acceptance. He ascended to our Father and His Father, to our God and His God. And do you know what it says in John 1? That by this Jesus Christ gave you and me the right to be children of God. Oh, do you know how precious this faith is? Do you take for granted the faith in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ? If you find in your spirit you get tired of hearing about it, I beg of you, look deeper. Because when you realize what the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ means to you and to me personally, there's never getting sick of it. There's no way. If you feel something different in you, you need to go to God. Something's not right. He is the Lamb who was slain from the foundations of the earth. He is the Lamb who sits at the right hand of God in heaven, and He shall reign forevermore. And everything you have, every bit of hope, of existence, of eternity that God gives us, is because of this. And He says, if you don't bring the offering, you can't participate in the harvest. You can't partake. But Christ, the first fruits, is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep, those who have died. Verse 21, "For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. And In Adam all die, even in Christ all shall be made alive, but each one in his own order. I'll tell you what, when I first read that as a teenager, that just knocked my socks off. Nobody told me there was an order to all this. Nobody said that there was a time and a place when this was. I thought it was just kind of whenever. No, he says there's an order and a timing. God had determined from the beginning a plan of how mankind would be raised up. So notice, for as in Adam all died, and so in Christ shall all be made alive, but each in his own order. Christ the first fruits, and then those who are his at his coming. Do you notice that? Those who are, actually, it says, those who are Christ's. They're holy for the priest. That's why God said that. He said, when you take of this offering, I want you to make these loaves with leaven, sin offering, and two peace offerings with it. I want you to wave it together, and they're going to be holy to the Lord for the priest. See, the special relationship that we have now is that we have a walk with the Lamb, with Christ. We have judged ourselves as worthy of death, and we accept His forgiveness for our sins, and we accept His resurrection for the newness of life. Notice what it says of these first fruits in Revelation chapter 14. Revelation chapter 14. Notice the description that they have. It says in verse 1 of Revelation 14, I looked and behold a Lamb standing on Mount Zion, and with Him 144,000, having His Father's name written on their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven, like the voice of many waters, and like the voice of loud thunder. And I heard the sound of harpists playing with harps. And they sang, as it were, a new song before the throne, before the four living creatures and the elders. And no one could learn that song except the 144,000 who were redeemed from the earth. They were harvested. They were brought up. They were gathered together. These are the ones who were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever He goes. They're His. Those who are Christ's at His coming, these are they. How are you defined? Those who follow the Lamb wherever He goes. And this Pentecost weekend, one of the great things that we should be contemplating and thinking about is, are we following the Lamb wherever He goes? Are we listening for Him? Are we seeking His voice? Are we coming after God and saying, I don't want to live life without knowing where to go? You see, when Jesus Christ walked on this earth in the flesh, He said, the words I speak what I hear my Father speaking. He said, the works that I do what I see my Father doing. We have to go after God that way so that we hear what He's saying and we see what He's doing so we can do as Jesus did. Because what is Jesus doing? Jesus always is doing the will of His Father, speaking what His Father would speak, doing what His Father would do. And who are those who are Christ at His coming? They're the ones who follow the Lamb wherever He goes. See, you hear me say, if we were a disciple in the time of Jesus when He walked the earth, would we be keeping these feasts? Absolutely. Why? Because we follow the Lamb wherever He goes. So why do we do it today? We follow the Lamb wherever He goes. That's why. We see His example. We see His life. And we want to be involved in what He's doing and His plans. They mean more to us. So these follow the Lamb wherever He goes. These were redeemed from among men, being first fruits to God and to the Lamb. Two wave loaves. First fruits to the Lord. First fruits holy because of the work of the Lamb and what He has done. And in their mouth was found no deceit, and they are without fault before the throne of God. Just what He says in Ephesians. Now, on this day of Pentecost, as it was read to us in Acts chapter 2, anticipating, Jesus said in chapter 1, wait for the coming of the Spirit. In Acts chapter 2, well, let's just read it. Instead of me telling you what it says, let's just read what it says. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. Acts chapter 2, verse 1, it says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, again, this is Acts chapter 2, verse 1, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. They received the Spirit of God on this very day, on this day of first fruits. What were they told? Don't go forward until you have been imbued from power on high. Wait. Wait until the promise has come. So what were they doing? They were together with one accord in one place, waiting. Waiting for the promise that was to come. All this time of counting is a time of waiting, of anticipation of what God is doing. And it begins with the Spirit of God. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1. Notice this in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11. In Him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will. Ephesians 1 verse 12 now. That we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of His glory. It all starts with first trusting in Christ. That in Him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. The Spirit of promise. See, He said in Acts chapter 2 in the sermon, Peter said, when they said, what should we do? He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And the promise is to you and to your children and all who are called and afar off. He's saying, come in. Come in and know this. So who you trust when you believe the gospel, that you give your life and are baptized into Jesus' name, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory. God, what He's doing through you, when He gives you the Holy Spirit, you receive the Holy Spirit, He's saying, I promise that you will be resurrected, that you will receive the inheritance. The counting to 50 is an anticipation and a remembrance that we are headed to what God has dreamed for us from the beginning. That we have our own inheritance. Turn back with me to Leviticus 25. Leviticus 25. You know, it's such an interesting thing when God does these little repeats. Interesting things that He brings out when you look at instruction that's so unique as counting to 50. Count seven Sabbaths, He said. To the day after the seventh Sabbath. So we've counted seven Sabbaths. This is the seventh Sabbath. Notice what He says here now in Leviticus 25. He said, and you shall count seven Sabbaths of years. Because He said, every seventh year you need to give rest. Just like there is rest for you, you people of earth, you walking, talking, animated earth. You need rest every seventh day. I'm giving it to the land. You know what happened when they didn't give rest to the land? The land got cursed. And basically God said, I'm going to get you out of this land, and so the land can have a makeup of rest. Sometimes that's what happens to us. We don't take our Sabbath rest. We think we can work. We think we can organize things that are of our own will and our own pleasure. And guys, that's what's happened to this society. We stopped dedicating a day to God. Now we're lucky if we dedicate an hour to God. 2 hours is certainly too long. And here we are, in a nation that continually is sliding away from God, and God is saying, of course you're cursed, because you haven't looked to me to rest on the day I said rest, and you're ruining your land. I was just telling somebody, we don't give land rest up in the areas where they grow vegetables. And in varieties of produce that used to be able to be good for 40, 50 years, where you could do it without mildew and bacterias and things rising up against the produce. Do you know, like on an item like iceberg lettuce, we're down to about 18 to 24 months before that product can't be used anymore. They have to develop new seeds every year because the land's rejecting it. Don't think there's not cursing when you stop the rest. And don't think there's not cursing if you Don't enter his rest either. It's a command of the Lord. Why do you think he said, if you don't enter into my rest on the Sabbath, you should be put to death? Think about that. Why would God put that in the law? Do you realize when you're baptized, you are baptized for murder and hate, you're baptized for stealing and covetousness, you're also baptized for breaking his Sabbath. It's one of the commandments of the covenant. And in Hebrews chapter 9 and 10, it says, Jesus died for the sins that we commit under the first covenant. That is part of the first covenant. It's amazing how we give so little attention to it because the world gives little attention to it. But when it comes to sexual immorality or adultery or murder, big problems there. But God put that one first. Before those to man, he put it in worship to him. I ask you, how much can you play around with adultery? How much can you play around with murder? How much can you play around with God's Sabbath? I put it to you. So notice what he says here. Leviticus 25, verse 8. And you shall count seven Sabbaths of years for yourself, seven times 7 years. And the time of the seven Sabbaths of years shall be to you 49 years. Then you shall cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month. Okay, so this is again on the Day of Atonement. On the Day of Atonement, you shall make the trumpet to sound throughout all your land. And you shall consecrate the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land to all its inhabitants. Okay, so here we have this count. Seven Sabbath years, and they're leading to what? Jubilee. What happens in Jubilee? He says, the 50th year shall be Jubilee. Each of you shall return to his possession, and each of you shall return to his family. Notice here in verse 12, for it is the Jubilee, it shall be holy to you. You shall eat its produce from the field. Again, notice, the produce from the field was to be eaten, whatever grew of itself, the land that was given. In the year of Jubilee, each shall return to his possession. If you sell anything to your neighbor or buy from your neighbor's hand, you shall not oppress one another. According to the number of years of Jubilee, you shall buy from your neighbor, and according to the number of years of crops, he shall sell to you. So in other words, what God is saying is, if through this time of 50 years, you had to mortgage your property, you came into debt, you were not whole financially, he said, don't oppress. Because in the 50th year, you're getting back your land, you're getting back your family, you're getting back the possession that I have for you. In the 50th year, it would be done. And notice even down in verses 23, well, we won't read it, 34, but it says this, that if during the 50 years somebody could come and redeem you, they could redeem your land for you. They could get your possession back. But he said, but if not, whether it was a house in the city or whether it was a property in the field, the 50th year, you got it all back. Your inheritance, your family, your land, and ultimately, redemption. The redemption was sure. Now, with this in mind, turn with me over to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Let's tie these concepts together. The Spirit was given on the day of Pentecost. The new covenant was created. It's also said in Jewish literature that the Ten Commandments, the first covenant, was done on the day of Pentecost. I don't have any proof of that biblically. But biblically, I do know that on the 50th day, the Spirit came in that new covenant that was prophesied of coming. And in Hebrews, we're told that there would be a new covenant that would make that first covenant obsolete. But notice here, it says now, verse 9, but if you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. So you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. How important is it to have God's Spirit? And what are you if you have God's Spirit? His! For His glory. For the priest. Holy to the Lord for the priest. The giving of the Spirit was for the priest. That you could be Christ. That you would follow the Lamb wherever He goes. How do we follow? Jesus said, it's your advantage I leave. Because if I leave, I pray the Father, and He will send the Spirit. Jesus later says, I will send the Holy Spirit, that you would be filled with the power of God, that the Spirit would lead you and guide you into all truth, that you would be convicted of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, that the Spirit Himself would make intercession for you according to the will of God, so that your life could be different. And as we look at the example of the disciples who went before us in the book of Acts, they were people who were led by the Spirit of God. Their testimony was because of a living relationship. And friends, we have to go past theology and theory to walking in the Spirit, to walking with God. But that guarantee that God gives by faith and belief in Christ comes out in the giving of the Spirit. Verse 10, and if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. This day, as we celebrate and we come together on Pentecost tomorrow, we are absolutely rejoicing that the Lord God has put His Spirit in us, and it is a guarantee, the promise, the assurance from Almighty God that you will be resurrected, that this mortal will be put off, that what will be put on is immortal, incorruptible, that everything we are working in this time of counting to overcome will be overcome by the power of God, because you will be transformed into His image. What does it say in Philippians chapter 3? What does it say? Hold your place here in Romans. Philippians chapter 3. Notice this. This is awesome stuff. Verse 20, Philippians 3:20. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to His glorious body, according to the working by which He is able even to subdue all things to Himself. Guys, what God is doing in us is so awesome. Do you realize it's His will to make you a kind of first fruits of His creatures, to bring you forward? And this day of Pentecost is all about remembering and celebrating this. Notice verse 12, Romans chapter 8 again. Romans 8:12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. In Leviticus 25, He says, in this year, in this 50th year, you will not oppress anyone. There's liberty. There's no fear. You've received the Spirit of adoption. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. What is He doing here? What is God doing? What is He bringing about that we celebrate? For I consider, verse 18, the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of Him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pains together until now. And not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. In other words, God, through Jesus Christ, is saying, look at what I'm doing. I give you the Spirit on this day of Pentecost. I give you the Spirit in your life as the guarantee that you will be accepted and holy to the Lord. That you will come and return to the possession and the family that I chose for you. We're all going home. We are strangers and pilgrims on this earth. We are seeking a homeland that is heavenly. It's not here. We're looking. We're counting. We're waiting. And what God is doing in us now is He's blessing us with His Spirit, that now, having received of His Spirit, we have in part which shall be full. We have the Spirit now. We receive it by faith. We receive the Holy Spirit, and we are the children of God. But what we yearn for is what the creation itself yearns for, that manifestation and the revealing of the sons of God, the revealing of the first fruits and the first harvest, because the land will find its place. And what happens here with leaven, I want you to think about what it says here with me in Romans 11:16. It says, if the first fruit is holy, the lump is also holy. Where we were in sin as leaven, and we were told to put sin out, and during this time of unleavened bread, the transformation that takes place in each of us here is that as leaven and sin had spread throughout us as a people, not knowing God, now having accepted the redemption and resurrection of Jesus Christ, when the lump that is within is holy, we are holy. The change is that the leaven, what did you put in it? What did you put in to the grain that you harvested? The Spirit of God? Or is it just flesh? Living in the Spirit of God makes the difference. It's the guarantee and the confidence that we have of a resurrection to eternal life in Christ Jesus. And so on the day of Pentecost tomorrow, we remember that God blessed us with His Spirit. We remember that He made a new covenant with us. We celebrate that by giving us His Spirit, we now don't have to do it in the flesh. We live in the Spirit and we can overcome the flesh. We know that we have God leading, guiding us, directing us, and that He is bringing us to this time to know here by faith, but then in reality, that we shall be raised up with Him, that we shall have this full return home, that we shall have this time with Jesus Christ. We're called to be part of His family. He's not ashamed, as it says in Hebrews 2, to call us brethren, because He loves us and He cares for us. And what He's working in us is so amazing. God loves you. God's will is for you to be a first fruit. God's will is for you to know Him and to love Him and worship Him and spend eternity with Him. It is His will that His saints would come with Him and that they would live and rule and reign with Christ for 1,000 years on this earth. That the reign of earth would be changed. That the kingdom of God would be here in reality as well. But now we keep seeking. We keep pressing in. We are waiting for that time. The count. For it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is.